The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday Drive. A beautiful day, a little bit warmer than the last couple of days. Still cool, but I mean, just a gorgeous day. I hope everybody is enjoying this this hump day. We have a lot to talk about. As yesterday, you know, we were talking about everything that was going on, sort of look back at that. Really, only one of those had really happened while we were, you know, when we came on the air, and then Auburn baseball was taking care of business while we were on the air yesterday. We had football practice, day one of spring football practice yesterday morning. Auburn baseball thumping, number four Auburn thumping number three Georgia Tech yesterday afternoon over at Plainsman Park. Final score was 9-2. And then last night, a rough start for Auburn basketball in front of a one of the smallest crowds that I've seen at Neville Arena in a long time, and we'll talk about that. But a very rough first 17-18 minutes as South Alabama they hit at one point 10 straight shots. Auburn could not buy a bucket. We talked about South Alabama's philosophy of packing it in and saying, all right, hit a three, hit threes. Auburn took 26 of them in the first half, only hit five.
Wow.
But the last couple of minutes of the first half, Auburn had trailed by as many as 11 points. It was 36-25 with 2.5 minutes to play in the first half. And, I mean, some of the sparse crowd that was there left last night with a couple of minutes to go in the first half.
Yeah,
because it didn't look good. But Auburn scored the last 5 points of the first half and had a couple of opportunities to score more. To cut it, as you mentioned, it was 36-30 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And then Auburn came out and just dominated the second half. They made shots, and they played much better defensively. Elijah Freeman had 10 rebounds, but there were a couple of really interesting things that happened last night we will get to. There was a sighting of a player we hadn't seen in nearly a couple of months. So Caden Magwood with 14 points in 17 minutes last night. Kevin Overton, who did not score in the first half, hit seven threes in the second half and finished with 21. Auburn made 11 three-pointers in the second half, 11 of 18 from downtown in the second half, and they end up winning fairly comfortably, 78-67, to move on to the second round of the NIT, which will again be at Auburn. We don't know when this weekend it will be. It will be sometime this weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, and they will take on Seattle, who won last night as well, playing in a time that seemed more reasonable for them because, of course, they're used to it out on Pacific Coast time. But we'll find out, I believe, sometime tonight when Auburn and Seattle will play over the weekend. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us here in the studio. Coach Don Dunn and Bill with Drew at the controls. And Jason, it was yesterday was quite a day. I mean, there aren't many days when there's actually something going on with the Big Three sports.
Yeah, no,
and all of them here on campus.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we had football practice early, baseball, and just an unbelievable crowd and a great game.
Yeah, that now was that right? Was that the largest
Largest midweek crowd in Auburn history.
And I said, it's probably also, when we were sitting at the basketball game last night, I said, it may be the first time that there's ever been baseball and basketball on the same day, and baseball outdrew basketball.
Yeah, it might not be the only time it's ever happened.
More than doubled the crowd at basketball last night.
There's been a lot of small basketball crowds over the years.
Yeah, hadn't been in a while.
It's been a long time.
I was thinking about this. Maybe early in Bruce's career for a Christmas break game against a lesser opponent,
maybe would be
the last time that there was a crowd that small.
Yeah, no, it was definitely – but, again, like you're playing at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
You know, I said here, look, to me, the disappointment was students. And I'll say it, I don't care.
It's
9 o'clock. You're not going to bed at 9 o'clock. People that travel from Birmingham, Atlanta, some of those things. Students got in free, by the way.
Yeah.
No excuse not to be there. But you're like, oh, you're not as good anymore. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Auburn basketball fans over the last 30 years that went to a lot of bad basketball games.
No kidding.
That would have killed to have an NIT game.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to say my piece there about that. Like, don't you know, look, and I've heard people talk about it, and I've been undecided about kind of how I would approach it, but I'm just going to approach it anyway. People saying, well, like it's beneath you to play in the NIT and all this stuff.
Auburn is above playing in the NIT. Well, then what? Take your ball and go home.
Or the other one is well, you know, you're not playing for championships. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to remember that when you go 8-4 in football and you go play an Outback Bowl and people are excited. You're not playing for a championship. What's the difference? In this day and age, if you don't make the playoffs in football, what is it?
Yeah, well, that's sadly that has really become the attitude.
That's it.
And Don, I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, but sadly, the attitude is if you don't win it all, you're a loser.
Right.
That bothers me.
And yeah, again, like, there's been a lot of bad basketball teams over the years that would have killed to go to the NIT.
Oh yeah, and you know, and we were talking yesterday for old guys like me. The NIT used to be the tournament, and it's still pretty prestigious to get to go to play in that old venue up there. If you make it to the championship, how cool would that be?
But yeah, I get to play at Hinkle. Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be Madison Square Garden.
Right.
That's why it was big, because the NCAA tournament, you know, was 16 and 24.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
And the NIT, yeah, there were teams that would decline NCAA tournament to go to the NIT. But the NIT has been it's been the other, you know, it's the leftover tournament. And it is. But for teams, you know, what it has become over the last couple of decades is an opportunity for teams that are hoping to build, you know, to either try to build a little momentum at the end of the year, finish on a positive note, and hopefully retain some players and use that as a building block for the next year.
If you had Janai Broome and Dylan Cardwell and a bunch of those guys back from a Final Four team last year,
it would have been.
You're not playing in the NIT.
No, you're right.
It's not that team. This is not a Final Four team. It's a program that went to the Final Four last year, but it is not this is not a team that went to the Final Four last year. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a first-year coach, go play in playoff games, postseason games, coach in postseason games.
Experience.
Absolutely.
Yep. I think it's great they're playing.
Listen, and here, like I said, I'm fine with it. And again, for people that if you think is beneath you, then that's your opinion.
That's their problem.
But I think there's some worthwhile benefits to playing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Jason, I mentioned Caden Magwood. How surprised were you to see him last night?
Extremely.
Yeah, I mean, he came in and it's like, wow, that's Magwood. And, you know, early on, I thought in the first half, he looked like he was pressing a little bit. I watched him at halftime. I watched him when they came out to warm up in the second half. Because first half, I mean, I saw him out there. I mean, pregame, I saw him, and it's like, well, that's just pregame.
Yeah.
But then when he got in the ball game, it's like, oh, wow. And then at halftime, I saw him come out, and he was working on his shot. And interestingly, I mentioned this to Matt, my son. He missed, like, his first three shots that he took warm-up for the second half, and then he hit, like, nine straight.
He can shoot.
Once they started falling, it was like – the net wasn't moving, and I thought, get one down and let's see what happens. Yeah. And then you did. You saw what happened there in the second half.
Over the summer, I saw him, and I thought he was the best shooter on this team.
Yeah,
I thought he was.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, and so, look, I'm glad to see him out there. You know, just wonder, like, what would have happened had he been playing 10 games ago.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, who knows what went on and why he didn't play. you know, he's a guy that I think probably could have helped this team at some point down the road. And, look, that's water under the bridge now. See if he can play a few more games and you know, build some confidence. And then, look, let's see. Hey, he was a foregone conclusion in my mind that he wasn't coming back. Who knows, mate?
Yeah, now, I mean, he just don't know. You know, we've seen him be engaged on the bench as Auburn has been playing since he hasn't been playing. And that is that's something that is definitely a positive. And Stephen Pearl has even, you know, talked about his positive attitude, and then mentioned last night, you know, he's a solid student, got A's in his classes, and has done what he needed to do, and was given the opportunity last night. And man, I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be fun to see if he can build on this as you get down here the last stretch of this season.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. We'd love for you to join in. Man, as we said, there's so much we can talk about: football practice, baseball, as Auburn now on an 11-game winning streak and a huge win yesterday, and then the basketball with the win last night. So let's get to the Drive Hotline, and Travis gets us started. Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Jason, first of all, I think you really call a good baseball game. I just want you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I just really think you bring a lot to the table, and I'm certainly not taking anything away from anybody else, but you just call a really good baseball game, and just wanted you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, I can give my personal account as to why I did not go to the basketball game last night, and I've had season tickets ever since Bruce was here. I didn't want to go through the. I had been so shell shocked, and I can't speak for all other Auburn fans, but I just didn't want to go in there and see us potentially lose to South Alabama. And maybe that makes me a lesser of a fan. I don't know, but I just feel like that was me. I just couldn't, and obviously we won, but I just could not. I'd been through heartache after heartache after heartache this year. And I feel like, I mean, look at the baseball game last night. You know, the fans are just starving for something good. And then, you know, I feel like we get scolded sometimes for not doing this or not doing that or doing this too much. And I just, you know, they're taking a home football game away from us. And I just feel like the fans have just suffered so much, and they just keep asking more and more of the fans. I just, you know, I just can't say for – I can't speak for anybody else, but I know I just – this has been such a heartbreaking season. I just couldn't go through it again. And like I said, call that what you will, but I think that was where I stood in my point of view from not going to the game. It's not that I didn't want to support the team. I was so exhausted from just the season. And that's really all I had today.
Travis, yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that have expressed sort of the same opinion. Look, I've been going for a long time. I'm a season ticket holder as well as being media, and have been for a long time. And look, I'm not thrilled, and I was shocked as well. But I still I guess I'm a little surprised that folks that are more afraid of. I mean, it would have, yes, at halftime. I'm thinking this would really be a bad way to end it if you go to the NIT and you lose, but they didn't.
My thought has always been, is it going to be any less traumatizing there than it is if you're watching it on TV? It's still the
same
the same thing, in my opinion. But in basketball, like, listen, there's no other sport in college athletics where the fans have as direct an impact as in basketball. None. Like, football's not even close to basketball. In football, they can have an impact. Basketball, you have as much impact as you have on any sport that is played. And so, listen, there were a lot of people that went to a lot of basketball games when Bruce's early years, and they weren't very good, and you didn't expect to win, and you went anyway. That's my thought, is like, look, just because, like I said, you go to the Final Four, and even the Kentucky, and like Duke's a little bit different story because they recruited it's just a different world for them. You got to get to that level. Auburn has been pretty good the last few years.
Oh, they've been better than pretty good
but
few years.
But you're still not Duke.
No.
Can you get there? Yes. But you're just not going to snap your fingers every year and go, we're just going to go back to the Final Four this year. It just doesn't work that way, especially this scenario.
Well,
where you change coaches.
When you have an entire new roster.
Again, we're talking about Kentucky. Kentucky had an entirely new roster. And it's Kentucky. And it didn't work out. Now, they're in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, they also had a few guys back. Otega Owe has been a difference maker for that team.
Yeah, if they didn't have him, they wouldn't be in there.
Correct. And so, there's like I said, there's no scolding. Because, look, it is what it is. You go if you want to. But 9 o'clock, to me, had as much impact as anything. I think if you play that game at 6 o'clock,
shame.
There's 5,000 people there at a minimum. I think that had a lot to do.
Cold weather.
And, so just the late night. Late night NIT game. The 6 o'clock NIT game, I think you got a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts on if you want to add some thoughts there about postseason basketball or the state of the basketball program. We won't know really, Jason. I mean, this off season is extremely, extremely important in retaining, being able to retain the players that they would like to retain, and then adding the right players to try to bring together a cohesive unit and play the kind of basketball that Stephen Pearl and his staff want.
Yeah, no, it's obviously when you start looking at it, you look and we won't know anything. It's going to be into April before you start to get a feel for what it's going to look like, and it'll probably be a couple of wild weeks there once this thing opens up to see what happens. But you know, if you're Auburn right now, you look in football portal world, you look and you go offensive tackle, pass rusher, quarterback. That's the positions you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to take – well, not quarterback as much, but everybody's going to take an offensive tackle and a pass rusher. Even if you got three, you want four. You're going to take those guys. Well, it's the same thing in basketball. Everybody wants a big man. Everybody wants a guy that can shoot it.
Right. Sure. You want multiple ones if you can.
Well, that's what Auburn's got to have. So does everybody else in this country. And so, to me, it means vitally important that, in my opinion, that you keep Kevin Overton, Sway, Jovich, Elijah Freeman. Those four guys, I think, are the core guys. I said, who knows what happens to Todd Petter. I don't feel like he's back, but you just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if – he's going to have an opportunity to make a lot of money somewhere.
Yeah, and again, if you're Auburn, is that the step you want to take, or
right.
do you feel like I need more numbers than one guy? Because it almost feels like the NFL draft right now at Auburn.
Yep.
Going into year two.
Yep.
It almost feels like the Raiders, where you're like, do we draft quarterback number one, or do we draft four other guys who we feel like can help us in other positions? I think about the Jets. Do you want to be the Jets, or you may be the 49ers? Because Brock Purdy's not a first-round draft choice quarterback, but you know what you do? You go get good everywhere else. If you're Auburn, can you get more quality guys to go with quality guys you have and find one elite guy, elite big man or elite shooter, elite point guard, whatever it is, to join those guys? But you're going to have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and if you keep Tahad, you may not have that extra to be able to try to get that other elite guy.
Again,
is Tahad going to be the answer for what you really need to build everything around next year?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
That's
I mean,
it.
Well,
yeah.
it's up to them to make that decision.
It is, and it all depends on what you want to do as a team, how you want to build a team, and,
right.
again, who come back on that team as well.
Jason with us here in hour number one. We're definitely going to talk some baseball, and we'll get to football as well as we continue here. I'd love for you to join in on the Wednesday Drive.
Live with Ben and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell with Drew at the controls here on this Wednesday edition of the show. What do you guys, Jason, what you want to talk about? You want to talk about baseball or football?
It
next?
Doesn't matter, whatever you want to do.
All right. Let's do a little football because we've just seen, day one and not really, we haven't seen really any action. We've seen, a few drills, things like that. But my my takeaway, I was talking with Don yesterday about this. My takeaway was I was impressed for a day one with as many new players and new coaches out there with the energy and the intensity that I saw from day one. And it's something that I felt, I felt a little more energy, I thought, from offense than I had the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think you can put a price on bringing in head coach, offense coordinator,
O-line coach,
wide receiver coach, quarterback, center, four wide receivers, a running back.
Another offensive lineman. Yeah,
I don't think you can put a price tag on having those guys help to get people up to speed.
Yeah.
To get them prepared for day one, because like there wasn't a whole lot of a quarterback and backup quarterback. You know, you got two quarterbacks to teach other guys what to do. Hey, here's what we need to do on this. Here's what we need to do on this. There's something to be said, and we were talking about Cole Best, but something to be said for having coaches tell you how to do something. But there's an entirely different thing to having players tell you to do something. And
your peers,
you can tell you, like, there's no better teacher for those young guys than that older guy who's been playing a lot of football.
Yeah, like you said, that knows what they want, what the scheme is, how they're going to be coached. You know those guys that say, well, how's this guy? How is he really? How's the new guy? And like you said, and Bill said it before, I think bringing the center, I cannot put enough emphasis how important that is. I mean, that's another quarterback. He's a quarterback of your O-line. He makes all the checks, the calls, their protection setups. I think that's awesome.
Cole Best reminds me a lot of Ryan Pugh.
Yeah.
When you talk to him, and you look at him, his mannerisms, the way he talks, he reminds me a lot of Ryan Pugh, where you go, that guy's just tough. Mm-hmm. He knows what to do. He's smart.
Yep. He is a mature young man.
I mean, Ryan Pugh was when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
When he stepped on campus, you're like, okay, this guy's a center. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play you at tackle because we don't have a tackle right now. And, you know, you make the switch at Florida, like those guys played. And to do – Cole Best is one of those guys, but he's had to kind of work his way up. He finally got into rotation, and he goes from a role player to a leader. And now he's a leader on this team already. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I was over listening to Byron Brown, because it's the first time I'd had a chance to be around him, and he was really impressive. But then came over and caught the end of Cole, and man, I mean, very, very mature, level headed. I mean, he knows, and he was talking. I thought it was interesting even there. I mean, I just caught the last few questions, but you know, he goes and points out somebody that's not one of the, you know, he was asked about, you know, somebody that he caught his eye in practice. And you're thinking, you know, it's day one. He's probably going to talk about one of the guys that's probably going to be a starter.
Yeah.
And instead, he talks about a young guy who wasn't the most highly touted, but he really loves his work ethic and everything that he wants to learn. He said, because it reminds him of him when he was coming along.
Yeah, he's a guy that we got a chance to talk to in the portal recruiting time. And so I knew then, I'm like, this guy's going to be a fan favorite, maybe SEC Media Days type guy. That's who he is. And so, when you bring guys like that in and you plug them in and you have coaches that are, hey, the same system, I think it's invaluable to help this team to be at a starting point ahead of where a team would be most any spring
ahead.
But definitely for a first-year coaching staff, for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned, and of course, there were four receivers that came in. I was impressed with the receiving core, the whole group of receivers. Cody was coaching them hard now. The whole offensive staff, Don, I mean, they were really not really getting on them, but I mean, they were
enthusiastic.
It was serious, you know, right there on them and making sure they're doing everything right. But I liked what I saw out of those receivers, and that is a good sized group of receivers too.
Yeah, I mean, they can run. I mean, listen, like I said, I think this is a group, and I think it's a team as well. You might not be as good your top two receivers, but I think you're better to 10.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's the same thing for this team. You might not be as good 1 to 10, but I think you're way better 1 to 50.
Yeah, now and some of those that you may not be as good at, it still is potential, and you're still waiting to see them reach theirs. I think
straight up talent. You go yes. like, from a talent standpoint. But again, like you know, Jeremiah Coger's a guy that could absolutely be a Cam Coleman type talent. I mean, he's long, big. Chaz Nimrod, who we've seen glimpses of, and I'm like, no, I'm not saying this isn't a talented group, but I think. From a numbers standpoint, I think you have more talented players. You might not have first round guy right now, but I think you got guys that have more chance to be more productive throughout a season, especially that wide receiver group. I do think there's some guys that are going to get it done.
Yeah, and I was just I was struck with how physical they appear right now. I mean, they're looking good out there in shorts. Now we'll see what happens when they start hitting. I mean,
that's it.
That's when it really counts.
Yeah, it's day one. That's all. Yeah. You know, people ask me, I said, all you can do is go, hey, what's that guy look like? That's it. There's nothing else for us to tell.
You can tell if they've got some speed.
Yeah, and look, you know, like Derek Plass to me jumped out like offensive line wise, but you see some different looking bodies. I mean, like I think Jacoby Ward's guy that
I was going to say Jacoby Ward is a guy. He's different. He looks so much different than he did last
probably
fall.
Probably weighs the same, but he's probably
oh man, it's moved
two
around.
Or 3 inches off his waist. I mean, he looks different. Yeah. His proportion different, and so. I think that's one of the things you look at now for this group on the offensive line, especially is because of the tempo, because of what's coming, you have to be able to be able to move, stay in shape, you know, get to the line of scrimmage, do all those things. And so you see, but it's not, hey, we're going to be really fast and lean on the offensive line. It's going to be in really good shape because they still want to run a football.
Yeah.
So this isn't.
Yeah, you can see this is not a small group on the offensive
line. This isn't get
They're
to
big.
The offensive line. This isn't get to the line of scrimmage and throw it sideways a bunch. And they'll do some of that. But they want to run the football. And so I think because of that, you're not going to get up there and have a bunch of 285-pound offensive linemen.
No, and that's one of the things Byron Brown was talking about was, you know, he was asked about, you know, do you expect to still be as much of a part of the running game? And he said, well, look, I've got a great running back core around me. He said, but yeah. I'm there to take some of the load off them, and they're going to take some of the load off me.
Yeah.
And look, Byron Brown is he's not a lightweight. He is he's as bigger than a lot of linebackers we've seen at Auburn through the years.
Yeah, he is. He's big and he's physical, can run, do all those things.
Got a quirky motion.
Yeah.
But man, the ball comes out and gets there.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like I said, like you know. If a throwing motion was be all end all, there's several folks in the Hall of Fame that never would have made it.
Oh, you're right.
that's true.
And there's a bunch of people that had perfect throwing motions and had all the things that couldn't play.
Oh, looked so pretty when they were throwing.
Yeah, he's been productive, and I would expect him to be productive again. And throwing motion, whatever. Listen, if his throwing motion was perfect and he had all those things, he probably wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, you're probably
if,
right.
If he led the country in total offense at 6'3", 235, and had a great throwing motion, did all that stuff, he'd probably be in a draft right now.
Yeah.
And so, hey, all that matters is what can you do at this level?
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. Now, obviously, you want to see him get a chance to play in the NFL, but right now, can he be productive at this level? He has been, and I think he will be continue to be.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll talk a little baseball when we come back as the Tigers won their 11th straight yesterday, now 18-2 on the season after that big win over Georgia Tech, and Texas coming in this weekend. You can join in 334-321-1390, anything on your mind sports-wise as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Don, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and let's get to The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Coach Don, Jason, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Great.
Jason, you were talking about has a quirky throwing motion. I heard for years Joe Montana had a quirky throwing motion, and he always got the job done.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of those. I would guess quirky throwing motion and undersized quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's as many of those guys in the Hall of Fame as there are guys who
look the part. Fran Tarkenton had a quirky throwing motion. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always heard that Jeff George had the great throwing motion. He was a complete disaster.
Yeah, you find some of the guys that are so pretty looking, it's like, oh, wow, look at their mechanics and their measurables and everything. And it's like, yeah, well, do you get the ball where it needs to be, when it needs to be, to the right person? Well,
yeah, and can you process information?
Right.
All the things you got to be able to do is all important.
And they you know, Mel Kiper does a great job. But people look into him too much, I think. He's all about selling magazines and selling his website.
Well, the other part of it is, too, is that the teams don't get it right either.
Yeah.
Like I looked today, and I think it was 2021, the 31 first-round draft picks, 20 of them are already on another team.
In 5 years,
And that's teams that focus on a draft pool of – there might be 30 guys that they're looking at. And when they get to their pick, there may be five, and they still get it wrong. Like it just and people like to you know, trash on recruiting rankings. And look, you get them wrong. You're going to get them wrong, but they got 500, 600, 700 players to figure out. NFL teams get it wrong with the first pick.
Yeah,
they get it wrong with the first guy. You go like, well, man, they messed up on that quarterback. You had the first pick. You had one guy to worry about, and you still messed it up.
And Jason, you were talking about undersized guys. Well, Drew Brees was undersized, supposedly.
Yeah, you're right.
Again, Brock Purdy. There's a bunch of those guys. Look, over the years, that have been really good at that position. And you went, oh, man. Tom Brady couldn't run a lick. Was a terrible athlete. Yeah, don't get any better than that guy. And yeah, like he was drafted in the last round. I mean, like they 100 quarterbacks drafted for that guy.
And wasn't Brock Purdy drafted like the 7th round? Or something?
He was the last pick.
Yeah, he was.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yep.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
Appreciate it, Terry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, situation matters. Circumstances matter. What team you go to matters.
You said something a couple of minutes ago before we went to break. That's exactly right. I've tried to tell people. And look, it's great. And you do, you want to see your players get the opportunity to go on and play in the NFL. But at this level right now, it's about
your job's
winning at this level, not necessarily producing NFL players. I mean, you'd love to.
Yeah,
you'd love to.
Yeah, and look, do you have a – I still don't know right now that it matters as much as it used to. I think 10 years ago, the more of those guys you had, the better off you were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think experience – now you got to have good players. But, I mean, look, Indiana's not going to have 25 draft picks.
No.
They were dominant. They had good players. But there's still going to be some teams in the country that have more players drafted than them. Mm-hmm. And they had
the ring.
They had the right pieces, the experience, that veteran maturity. And it's hard to get that now because guys don't stay around that long.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's talk some baseball because, I mean, this baseball team is so fun to watch. And we have seen different guys get opportunities and step up. Auburn's had a couple of injuries because of Chris Rembert's injury. Brandon McCrane really got the opportunity to become an everyday guy and is really now entrenched as the shortstop. Cade struggling a little early on, now getting back in there and is coming through while we wait for Bristol Carter to get back. By the way, what's the latest on Bristol, Jason?
Yeah, Bristol just to give him a little time to rest. So he hasn't really done anything since Saturday. So he came out of the game Saturday. So when they went to Missouri campus Sunday and worked out before we flew back.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
He didn't do that. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they're off today. So I think you get back out there tomorrow and run around a little bit and see how it feels. But I think they're just kind of, hey, just rested. And it's just a kind of that strain. Same thing where Eric Guevara. His was better. They felt like he probably could have played last night, but when it's ankle and you know, a little bit of a hamstring and it's 40 degrees,
no need to rush that one.
So those are the things. Drew Whalen, they're supposed to get some thoughts back on the MRI. Doesn't look positive for him at this point. So we'll kind of see where that goes for him. Griffin Graves getting closer. I wouldn't be surprised maybe next week to see him get in there and see what it looks like. And the same for Eddie Madrigal. Watched him take BP all weekend in Missouri.
That's nice.
He's taking ground balls, doing some of that stuff. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get a pinch hit appearance on Tuesday night against South Alabama. I mean, I think it could be that quick just to get him out there against live pitching, see what it looked like, and then you'll go from there. So I think he's getting closer to being back out there and being ready to go. But man, Ethan Bingham is playing really good at first
base.
Yeah,
I was going to say, so that just gives you another guy. Makes it 14 or 15
absolutely
guys that you're looking at as possibilities there in the lineup. Now, but the pitching, Jason, has just been – it's been a dream thus far. I mean, I can't recall a run like this of consecutive outings by starters – weekend, yeah, midweek, where they just go out and they have shut down the opposition.
Yeah, you'd have to get back to that dead bad era of, yeah, you know, 2014, 14, 15, or whatever it was. That's probably the only time that would be similar, just because nobody was swinging a bat or nobody could score. But
people can score now.
Yeah, they can. And, I mean, they're throwing strikes, throwing multiple pitches for strikes. Listen, when you don't give up a bunch of free bases, you're normally going to have a chance to win games. Every once in a while, you throw strikes and people are going to hit you. But normally, when that happens, it's because you walked a couple of guys.
Yeah, well, you had a leadoff walk in the top of the first yesterday. Yeah. That ended up being the only run that Trey gave up.
You get behind in the count and have to groove pitches. That's it. If you can pitch from ahead and make people swing the bat, you're normally going to be in pretty good shape. And that's what they've been able to do so far, and doing it pretty consistently. So, it's been just fun to watch. And look, you know, you look at them and you go, who's in a first round major league guy out of this pitching staff? I mean, like, probably none of those guys, because they don't throw 100 miles an hour,
right?
But you got a bunch of guys that can pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we were just talking about it. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is winning at this level.
Well, the thing is, just because they may not be first round guys, though, guys that can pitch,
absolutely,
are going to get opportunities.
No, 100%, and that's it.
They're going to be playing pro ball.
These guys can all pitch. That's what I said, but they're not going to be first round, you know, Paul Skeens guys, because they don't throw 100. But they know how to pitch, and you know, obviously working with a great pitching staff here, learning how to pitch to guys, learning how to set up pitches, doing all the things they're doing. Yeah, they're going to be valuable guys for sure. But it's not like you're overwhelming people with talent. Now, they got some talent. But, you know, you're like we saw yesterday, Andres Alvarez, you know, 94, 95, but it was a breaking ball, doing the things he did yesterday. And that's, Butch likes to say, texturing pitches. You see these guys continuing to grow in those areas. And I think it's been fun to watch, because, yeah, they're not overpowering guys, but they are. The numbers look like they're overpowering guys. Because they are keeping people off balance.
When you've got a strikeout to innings pitched and strikeout to walk ratio,
struck out 16 Georgia Tech batters last night.
Yeah,
and that was
a Georgia Tech team that came in averaging striking out less than half of that per game,
averaging 12.7 runs a game.
Yeah,
and scored two.
Yeah, hitting .393 coming in and had three singles.
Yes,
yesterday. So so just phenomenal. I'll say this though, I think there's a possibility you got some high draft picks. Among batters.
There's going to be some on this team, yes. And you know, you start looking at it, and look, Chris Rembert with a home run last night, starting to inch closer, and he's still not back to what he's going to be and what he has been. Chase Froehlich can swing it. Bob Terrell.
Yeah, I mean, Chase, the thing is, the way Chase, you know, you saw last year that oppo pop that he had, and now it's carrying. They're carrying a little bit better.
Yep.
Just sort of like Ike when he was younger.
Same.
And the fact that he's a catcher.
And 6'3", 225. He's not a
stock,
small guy.
Yeah, his stock continues to rise. And Bub.
But, yeah, Bub. Bub's of his athleticism, big guy. I mean, Eric Guevara's a guy that's really talented.
Mm-hmm.
McCrane brothers. I mean, Ethan Bingham. And the funny thing is, we just talked about all those guys. One of them is a junior.
Yeah, that's right.
Eric Guevara is the only one. The rest of them are freshmen
and
sophomores.
And, I mean, he hasn't played that much more than the rest of them because he hadn't been able to be healthy all the time.
He missed much of his first year with after the ACL. So he's a guy that's really a second-year guy as well.
334-321-1390. Let's get another call in before we get to our final break. Who do we have?
Jeff.
Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff. Oh, we lost Jeff. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get to break. Jeff, if you get a chance, give us a call back. One more segment with Jason as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill. SBNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Want to remind you that the You can get into the Auburn Network's Basketball Mayhem Challenge, and the brackets are there. You can go ahead and sign up and make your picks. You got to get it done now before the first game tips tomorrow, and that's, I believe, at around 11:10 tomorrow morning is going to be your first game. So go ahead and get in. You can go to AUNetwork.com, and the best overall bracket at the end of the tourney is going to win a smart TV from the Auburn Network, custom WeatherTech floor mats from Turner Auto Group, a Yeti Roadie from University Ace Hardware, and Visa gift cards from Point Broadband and CH Septic. So go ahead and get in there. Just go to AUNetwork.com, get your picks in. Jason, we were talking a little while ago. I haven't done mine. I mean, I've got a feeling I've got to pick a few. Got to pick a few upsets. I mean, usually you got to have a 12, maybe a 13.
12 over a 5.
It's been 13s actually the last couple of years, yeah. As much or more than 12s. But you always have a 12. But as far as going deep, I just don't know that I see many long shots. It appears that you've got the top half dozen or so teams, and it's hard to see somebody outside that winning at all.
I agree. It feels like. This is really top heavy, and hey, last year was too.
Oh yeah,
and look at the way it's shaken out. It feels like there's a four or five good teams, a bunch of teams that you can just shake them up in a basket.
Yeah,
look, that's the way this league was. Mm-hmm. And Auburn beat Florida, but after that, it felt like, well, it's Florida, a bunch of teams that aren't really that different. And listen, I'm including Auburn in that too. Auburn had, there were close games with Alabama, and you had close games with these other teams. They just couldn't win a lot of them.
Right.
But look, there wasn't a nickel's worth of difference between most of the other teams in this league. Now, makeup, how you matched up.
Matchups are more important basketball. Sometimes, right.
But you look right now and you go, man, if Arizona, Michigan, Florida,
Duke,
if those four teams don't make it, it'd be a surprise.
Yeah.
You thought about UConn earlier. They haven't played very well. Kansas, Iowa State, some of those teams, they're solid teams. But you don't feel like one of those teams is good enough to
St. John's
off one of those.
Another one, and it's like, nah, I don't see them being there.
And so, that's what it feels like. It's a chalk at the top, but then a bunch of upsets in between.
Right.
I think a bunch of upsets.
That's where the next couple of days are so much fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wild too. I really do.
We've got you were saying a while ago while we were off the air. It's a busy time here again. Coming up, we've got day two of football practice tomorrow. I guess they can go in pads maybe Saturday. I know they have to go at least 2 days.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of days in the spring. Yeah, you can't have consecutive days in pads,
right.
Full pads.
Do you still do half pads? Remember those?
Yeah,
days?
I think they may be able to do shells or whatever.
It started out with shorts, and we could go with
– Well, they had a little padding on the shoulders yesterday.
They have those
– what do they call them things? Shockers? Or
yeah,
something?
That they have that and then the helmet pads underneath.
Right.
So they got some of those things on. I don't know exactly
anymore.
When they'll be like full pads, but like when you only have 15 days,
I wouldn't be surprised if they do that on Saturday, which we don't have any. I don't think we have any access on Saturday.
We don't until next week, and then busy next Tuesday where you have football practice, pro day, and baseball in Montgomery against South Alabama, and if you win a basketball game, you're probably playing again Tuesday night next week.
If you play Saturday.
Yes.
If you play Sunday,
be Wednesday. But
it'd be tough if you're the number one overall seed and play Sunday and have to turn around and play Tuesday. But the good thing is you're playing at home if you win.
That's why I would think it's going to be a Saturday, Tuesday. It's what it would feel like.
It
would feel like your Saturday and – Because I'd heard
baseball 6 o'clock Saturday.
But here's the thing, they don't care. They just played all 9 o'clock. It just whenever they want to put the game on TV is when you're going to play.
I'm glad they moved baseball to 4 yesterday. I didn't get a chance to get over because by the time we were off the air and I got home, it was about over.
Yeah, I don't think though that if you're the NIT on a Saturday, I don't think you're playing basketball games Saturday afternoon.
No, I think
it'd be 11 a.m. or noon.
I'm hearing it might be 10.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah, I honestly wish it was a little closer to baseball.
Uh-huh.
Where you 1 o'clock, something like that, where at least
where
you can
go hang
around,
get
while.
Something to eat or whatever. Go down if you want to walk downtown and then come back.
Yeah,
and go to baseball.
But I bet you they're going to do everything they can to avoid playing head to head with NCAA tournament.
Oh, you know
games. And honestly, they have. I think is the women's NCAA tournament still on ESPN and ESPN2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to figure those out as well. Started. So yeah, it's going to be some crazy time, I have a feeling.
Yeah, you know it. Well, speaking of crazy times, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you guys are trying to keep up with here over the next few days.
Yep, can check us out at auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. And like you said, got a whole lot going on, football practice, recruiting. It's that time. After the dead month in February, back having visitors, all those things here in the month of March. So got all that going on. Obviously, baseball, a huge one this weekend. I looked at one of those comparison things and looking at all the metrics in baseball right now. They had Auburn number 1 and Texas number 2.
Wow.
So, but it's another top 5 showdown this weekend. And then basketball, see if they play Saturday and what time it is and go all. So it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, though.
Great
weather.
You're going to be doing baseball again Saturday,
don't
right?
know. It depends on if they well, know what time it is and you know, all those things. We're not really sure yet, so we'll figure it out.
I would say probably. So anyway, Jason, really appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. You appreciate it.
All right, we're back with hour number 2 here on the Wednesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 of the Wednesday Drive. Beautiful afternoon. It's a little warmer than we've seen the last couple of days. This would have been a better day to play baseball, although I don't think Auburn would they'd swap what happened for the opportunity to play today after that big win yesterday. Welcome into the second hour of the show. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser joining us again here in the studio. Adam, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. I can't complain. It's still a little chilly out there, but it's just like the sun shining just right.
It feels great when you're not. Yeah, the thing is, if you're in the shade and the breeze gets you, yeah, you'll notice it a little bit. But in the sun, it's great. Now you pulled triple duty yesterday, didn't you?
I did pull triple duty yesterday.
Wow. I mean, I would have, but I mean, we had a show to do.
Yeah.
Yesterday at 4 o'clock, so we were watching the baseball game. But yeah, it was a crazy day, man. Football early in the morning, baseball mid-afternoon, and basketball late night.
I think I got to the football facility around 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I think I got home around 12:30.
Mm.
Yeah. There's always a couple of them. Like, they always happen. But it's just kind of like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, why not? You know, especially with that baseball game. You know, if they were playing like UAB.
Right. Maybe. Or yeah, if they've been playing a nobody or something.
Like, top 5 game, like you got to get out there, you know. So
and hey, it was a great crowd.
No, phenomenal
for
crowd
for baseball yesterday.
Yeah, no, that I was very surprised to see that, especially after they moved
the
it
game
up
having
that
yeah game, that's right know. The game had was scheduled originally for 6 o'clock. They moved it up to 4 o'clock, but yeah, you get a top 5 matchup like that, which for 2 days it is the highest ranked matchup ever at Plainsman Park.
Right. I was writing about it going in, and then it was like, you kind of think about it, it's like, well, that's going to exist for about, you know, like you said, like 48 hours. But no, I mean, it was just that I don't think that could have played out better than it did. I mean, you know, I just to throw out, and I say midweek starter, like that's so, you're getting into some.
You got a midweek starter with about a 110
right.
ERA now.
He's been an incredible midweek starter, but you throw him out there against the best offense in the country, and you're not playing your leadoff hitter in Bristol Carter and a guy in Eric Guevara, who's been very dependable in the middle of that lineup, and you hang a 9 spot on him and hold him to 2 runs on 3 hits. Like, that's just.
Three singles.
And it
starts off, too, with walk, errant pickoff throw, RBI single, and another walk, and you're thinking, oh, this could be tough. And after that, Dre Alvarez was dominant.
I think there's something about him needing to be in a situation where he's facing a little adversity. Like, I just don't know what it is. I mean, I know ever since he got here, Butch has always talked about he's got a really impressive pickoff move for a righty going to first, and I don't know if it's pitching out of the stretch or what, but he just seems more comfortable when the pressure gets ratcheted up, because it was like after that, yeah, the first frame was shaky, but after that first runner got on, it felt like he settled a little more. But then, you know, obviously after that, it was
he gave up two base runners over the next four innings.
Yeah,
after that.
No, it was for him to get to five innings. That's what impressed me, because it was like after 30 pitches in the first, it was kind of like, well, maybe you see if you can get him to four and just lean on the bullpen. But then it was like you look up and it's like I think it was 94 pitches through five innings. But still, I mean, that's what they needed. And, you know, to link it up between Chatterton and Cormier, especially at the very end, that he's impressed me last couple appearances. But it's just the pitching, man. I really don't think it's ridiculous to say, but like I'm sure statistically it's probably accurate in a lot of regards. But I think this is the best pitching staff in the country right now.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to imagine. I mean, I don't think there's a team with better numbers. I mean, Auburn was right there at the top in just about every pitching category, and sure didn't hurt themselves yesterday with 16 strikeouts and one earned run.
I believe they lead the country in ERA now after yesterday. Mm-hmm. So no,
and their strikeouts, strikeouts to innings pitched has got to be up there too.
Yeah, I was looking through it over the weekend, and I think it was like K's through nine. Like it just, I don't know, some of those stats get a little arbitrary. Maybe,
oh yeah,
but like it was somewhere around like 12 point something. You know.
Yeah.
But
it's almost. I mean, they're just shy of one and a half an inning.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like. I don't know. I feel like power pitching hasn't really been the forte of a lot of these staffs under Butch in recent years, and it's just...
Well, I don't know that I would really say it's power. It's not like these guys all go out there and are throwing 98 and are just pure gas.
Right, but it's just to be so strikeout heavy, you know, I just don't feel like that's been sort of the brand of it in recent years, and to see that you're getting that and then some is just... You know, it's what coming. I always say coming up Milhouse. That's a Simpsons reference, but
yes.
Up Roses indeed. Is originally the original one, right?
Yeah,
but yeah.
But you know what? When you've got lefties that have good stuff and can throw it for strikes, that's going to result in strikeouts.
Right. No, and I mean just from
and
what
you've got.
Seen,
I mean your 1-2 guys, your Friday and Saturday guys are both that.
And Sanders, I love the way he's kind of profiled just as far as his arsenal and that. I forget if it's technically a slider or a sweeper, but just like. Because you're right, like it's not technically power pitching for him. It's this breaking ball that just seems to tie everybody up. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just been so impressive to watch so far.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a fun day yesterday, and then it didn't look like it might end up fun. About 16, 17 minutes into the first half last night, when South Alabama was up, went up 11.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was that we praise the crowd there at Plainsman Park. That was the smallest crowd up. Jason and I were talking about it in the first hour. I'm thinking maybe early Bruce era Christmas break against a non-brand would be the last time I could think of a crowd that sparse at Neville.
They I went back and looked because I was just kind of keeping an eye on it myself. But the listed attendance was
26 something, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was 2160 something.
Oh, okay.
And it was less than a quarter of the capacity at Neville. But it also, and this is a stat too that I'm sure gets, you can finagle it however you want, but like they had an 85 game home sellout streak heading into last night.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
So, you know, technically, I mean, that's technically snap, but I'm sure, you know, regular season.
It can continue regular season wise.
Right. But no, it was a very.
It would have been a sellout. It would have been a sellout if it had been part of your season ticket.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so.
No. But no, I mean, it really. You know, they settled in. I mean, I was kind of surprised at the honesty of it from Steven post game of like we kind of expected to start slow just with how everything went on Sunday. But you go back and look, I think he said it was about the first 15 minutes was a slow start and they were down 8 at that point. But you look at it after that, I think they outscored South like 56-37 after that. I mean, you know, they figured it out, especially after halftime. And that's just kind of a funky team to go up against with that defense. You know, it was kind of shades of, I think it was Merrimack early in the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they just said, here, take threes, and Auburn did, and they took a ton in the first half. 26, wasn't it like 5 for 26 at half?
I think it was, and I think really like the biggest issue was you started to see it after halftime, but it's with that zone, if you can push the ball into the middle and kick it back out, it's easy money.
You're going to get an open look.
And they started doing that a lot more, and you know, it's like, Kevin Overton catches fire. Until he got his third foul, it looked like Tahad Pettiford was going to have a huge half. But then,
once he got his third foul, it's like, oh my goodness, who is this?
Right, and then it's like, here's Caden Magwood. You know, that was the biggest surprise of the
absolutely
night.
Absolutely, it
was. But it was, I mean, that was awesome to see for him. Just as far as like, I could imagine he could be checked out right now, and I don't think anybody would blame him.
No.
So to come in and drop 14, and like, I think at one point he had like 8 points in 6 minutes in the second half.
Well, he ended up with 14 and 17.
Yeah, he ended up, yeah, okay, that was it. Yeah, 14 and 17. And there was a run there, too, where, like, I think it was through his first, like, 8 or 9 points. He hadn't missed from the field. You know, he came out red hot. But, no, it was kind of a wonky one. You saw some things I think he liked. And I'll be really interested to see, like, how they do against Seattle this weekend, because they're just defensively, they are so efficient and so effective. They present a lot more size. So I think that's going to be a really interesting test.
It's going to be a challenge without Murph.
Yeah.
Without Keyshawn Murphy.
That's going to be a really big challenge, because it's just like you don't, you know, you've got forwards, right? But you don't really have.
You don't have a post.
You don't. You don't have a post. And so, you know, it's like, do you run a five out sort of thing and just play with five guys on the perimeter and see how it looks? But, you know, it'll be that'll be an interesting one in a totally different way than last night was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, and we didn't really mention that in the first hour, but that was something, you know, we'd wondered about heading into the end of the tournament, if there were going to be any opt-outs. And apparently there wasn't any advance notice before practice on Monday.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that was honestly, like, I was talking to Justin Ferguson about it this morning, but that was probably one of the most surprising names that I think could have opted out. You know, I'd probably put Sebastian Williams-Adams in that category, but you know, to see that the bleeding stopped at Murph, like that was, you know, once I kind of saw that, I was like, okay, are there going to be other ones? You know, I'd gotten a message earlier in the day, like, hey, just, you know, keep your head on a swivel about this. But I walked into Neville last night, and, you know, I don't even think that news had broken yet, but the first two players I saw on the court were Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Pettiford, and I was kind of like, okay, maybe, like, if Murph does opt out, then that's maybe the only one, and, you know, of course it was, but, yeah, no.
So yes, it's Filip Jovic and Sebastian Williams-Adams, and then you really have to rely on Elijah Freeman, who came through with 10 rebounds last night.
Yeah, no, his athleticism, I think, just allows him to be effective in so many areas. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's not giving you double figures in scoring, like, he's good for double-digit rebounds. He's, you know, I don't know if he had any, let's see, did he have any blocks or steals last night? He had a steal last night, but he's just, with his athleticism, like, you know, if he was a few inches taller, he'd make an incredible rim protector, like that kind of thing. And he's already got the ability to do that without, you know, the true height. He's that long, especially in the arms. But no, you're gonna have to figure out whatever it looks like for that front court on both ends, because you do not have that post size.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Adam Cole here in hour number two. I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our first break. We'll talk a little football, get Adam's thoughts on the first day of spring football and more. But we'd love for you to join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
With BillKnightAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, got Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. And let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And James is up first. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got two questions. The first one, the special teams for football.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Evan McPherson's backup this year for his field goals?
Well, you still got Connor is back.
Yeah, he is. He'd be the number two.
So you got both your place kickers back from this past year.
That's Connor Gibbs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's his last name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, no problem. Second thing, I know the running back room is
loaded.
Well stacked.
Yes.
What is the what is your opinion on Alvin Henderson? You think, I know I've heard they really like him. Do you think he will play, get in the mix
this year? How do you, what's your opinion?
My first thought is this is a very important spring for Alvin because of the sort of the proven commodities that you have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I just like there's so much. And not that seniority, you know, paves the way for everything, but you have so much more experience in front of him that I don't know how much we're going to see him actually getting carries during the season, maybe right. A little bit in non-con. I do think he's a potential option on special teams in the return game. I really think him and Bryce Kane both could be involved there. Of course, Rayshon Pleasant, whether that's punts or kick returns, is going to probably be the de facto guy there. But I think both of those guys look like very likely options to be, you know, at the top of the depth chart as far as return men go. You have so much depth in that running back room that, you know, if him or Omar Mabson, you know, if they work their way up to, you know, third string or above through the spring and the fall, that's great. But I'd imagine for Alvin, it's probably more likely than anything considerable time, you know, kind of in the return game.
Okay. One more question. This made me think of something. You had two brothers that come out of Selma.
Oh, yeah, the Smiths.
Yes, yes. And there's one that, you know, committed to Alabama, then he flipped to Auburn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, Duke Smith. What is his status? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's still around and getting involved. I mean, I saw him, and it looked like him and Bryce Kane were both kind of equally had the same level of involvement yesterday, where they weren't necessarily in the first rotation, but they were still around and involved. And I mean, the thing about Duke too is like he had a, you know, this is maybe an ill comparison to make, but like I remember the first practice with Cam Coleman, and you go out there and you look at the receiver corps, and you're like, who is that? And it's like, Oh, that's Cam. There was a little bit of that last year with Duke. I mean, he's got a ready-made body to him, and you know he was still getting out there and getting involved in reps. I'll be curious to see where he winds up kind of on that depth chart, but like he's still very much around and, you know, in play there. I don't know how high up the depth chart he could climb, but he'll be an interesting one to watch for sure.
I thought yesterday, all right, I was there. I mean, as the receivers came over and were standing by us and walking back on the field, and I thought, yeah, Duke was an impressive looking guy last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
He's thicker this year. He and Eric, my goodness, Eric Smith was listed around 190 something like. He looks like he's 215 plus or something now.
Okay.
They are both a couple of really solid looking guys. Again, this is just seeing them getting out running around because it was in shorts and shells yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the things. When I was talking about receivers a while ago, Don, those two guys came to mind. I said it, I think it was to Jason yesterday, or it may have been Brian. I mean, as we were just standing there, I went, man, the Smith brothers are impressive. This is an impressive looking group of receivers, Adam. I just on the hoof. They look good.
Yeah, Eric is listed at 6'4", 195 this
year. He is bigger than 195.
Yeah.
They have not updated the weights.
Their weights.
Okay.
The sizes on these players on the roster we got yesterday are the same as they were back in December.
Okay.
So I'm expecting there to be some changes when they, you know, when they relist the updated rosters, because I don't think Jacoby Ward is the same as he was a year ago. He's still listed at that three whatever.
Yeah, he did. He looked a lot more trim yesterday.
He looked much leaner.
But no, that wide receiver core, like I'm curious to see just like how it all shakes out, because some of it seems maybe, I don't want to say obvious. I mean, it's the spring. You know, you still got a whole offseason to go. But, you know, Keshawn Singleton, Chaz Nimrod, Jeremiah
Coger and Coger. Nimrod. I mean, those guys, well, you can tell they're very familiar with Byron Brown and with what was going to go on. Because, I mean, they're running their patterns very fluidly, and the ball is coming out before they're even making their breaks, which is something it's nice to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's like just the glue of familiarity with this team is going to be just a fascinating thing to follow. And I think those three guys will be right at the forefront of it. And, you know, I think, too, like Christian Neptune's a guy I'm interested to see.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
he's
kidding.
Just like bona fide slot guy, but super fast. And you wonder if his usage will go up this year. A guy who I thought kind of like fit the mold of, you know, like the Smiths of looking, you know, pretty ready physically just off the rip was Brian Williams Jr.
Yeah.
Like just walking by him a few times, it's like that dude's got size.
He didn't look like a freshman.
Yeah, and I didn't realize he's listed at 6'4". Like I didn't realize he's got that kind of red
zone threat. This is a good size receiving corps. Yeah. I mean, they've got quite a few guys who are 6'2" or taller.
Yeah. No. So it's just there's a lot of diversity to it, I think, in terms of like style of play that you can get from these guys. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they use them. I'm curious too if like there's going to be any with how much you have in the running back room. Clearly the running game is going to take precedent. I mean, Golish has made that clear, but like I wonder how much you're going to get skill players who aren't listed running backs involved in the run game, and I wonder who that could be, because mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I know we saw like the end arounds all the time from Freeze and his right. offense, and I don't know that it would look exactly like that, but you know, a guy like Christian Neptune, like could he get carries and play a role like that? Bryce Kane, that's another guy I think you could fit into that mold, but no, you just got, it's just pieces everywhere, you know.
Well, and then on the other end of it, I mean, one of the things Byron Brown was talking about yesterday is how impressed he had been with the running backs and their ability to catch the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be, if you managed to have, what, that's four leading running backs from FBS rosters last year, and they're mm-hmm. all capable of playing third down back, whether that's, you know, protection or, you know, just popping off into the flat and giving you a dump out option, you know, like that's just deadly, you know, in terms of what you can do with this offense. It's, you know, if it's not that like four-star blue chip talent kind of thing, then it's that familiarity and guys who have already been proven in this offense. It's, I feel like you either see that or that, you know, and that's just, it's a great sign.
And I'm really looking forward to our next opportunity when we get to see a little bit of practice. Won't be tomorrow. Tomorrow, I guess we just get players. But yesterday, trying to sort of keep up and look, it's day one.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't put that much emphasis or on who I see go out there win, but just for whatever and giggles. Yeah. I mean, the way they went out there yesterday with the quarterbacks, it was Jeremiah Cobb 1, mm-hmm. Then Omar Mabson 2,
yeah,
and then Nakai Davenport 3, and then Bryson Washington 4.
Yeah,
I mean, not that that's means anything at all. It's just, you know, you. Jeremiah and Omar are the returnees mm-hmm. here on this team. So maybe that's why they got out there. Because, probably. Look, they stuck with the program, and they put in the work, so they were the first guys out there. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the first two that you're going to see. I don't, you know, I'd be a little surprised, actually, if Omar's number two right now. But he may be. I mean, goodness, again, remember, Omar should be a true freshman right now.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to forget about that for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
I'm always going to forget that he's a year ahead, but that's a guy, too, who, like, you know, in the same vein of Alvin, it's like, I'm very interested to see where he winds up, because I don't know that he's got that, you know, you can obviously put him on return team, kickoff, whatever, but, like, he's not, I don't know that he's going to be a return man for you. I don't think he has that.
No, he's not the blazing breakaway kind of guy,
but
I think his just natural his vision, mm-hmm. His just sense of awareness when he's running, especially in traffic, he's mm-hmm. he's got that knack that you know, sometimes you can't teach. It's just sort of there, Don.
Yeah, he's what we call a natural running back, you know, balance, like you said, doesn't go
he's
down.
Got that low center of gravity,
he
too.
He doesn't go down easy, and I think you're right. Those guys were here. And the first day, you can't put them down on the bottom of the depth chart. You want to keep everybody happy that first day. And it doesn't mean anything right now, like Bill said.
That's always like I try to, whether it's practice notes in the spring, during the season, whatever, I never write first team. I always write first rotation.
Right. The first guy out there.
It's like,
And that's what they're telling these players, too.
Right.
You got to keep them happy now.
Right.
Much more so when I coach.
Well, I mean, of course, the good thing is there's not a spring portal.
Yeah,
but I mean, you want this competition, and you've got really, I think, more competition throughout the roster than we have seen in a long, long time.
And the funniest thing about it all is, it seemed like, I guess with the exception of 24, it seemed like every year of certainly Freeze. You know, I guess I was only there for the last year of Harsin, but like it seemed like quarterback was always what you had your eyes on, as far as, okay, who's going to get the starting nod? And I mean, even last year, of course, it was like Jackson Arnold's the runaway favorite, but like There's not going to be much of that this offseason, you know?
No, I mean, now look, I liked the way the ball came out and the way the other three quarterbacks threw the ball yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's Byron Brown's team.
Right. It's Byron Brown's show, and I mean, this is, you know, like I just wonder, like, this was something worth asking yesterday, but like, how do they feel ahead just with, you know, all the pieces that they were able to bring over that know this offense? Like, does it feel like you've got a head start in a way? Or, you know, just I wonder where they feel in terms of all that, just with all the
Oh, you've got to, because, I mean, this would be like a situation that if they hadn't left, they're just adding in these other pieces right. that are coming in here because they've already got so many.
Right.
When you've got a quarterback, two offensive linemen, four receivers, and a tight end
yeah.
that were all at South Florida last
and
year.
Coaches.
And their head coach, play caller, and offensive coordinator, and O-line coach.
Yeah.
And receivers coach.
Yeah, and that front office too. I mean, that's maybe zooming out a little much there. But, you know, it's like, yeah, there's just – it's familiarity top to bottom. I still think – I think Cole Best is going to be, like, the glue of –
Were you over there with Cole?
I was not. I was
– Man, you were over there with us at Byram.
I was hunkered down getting video at Byram, yeah. and it was like –
Oh, that's right.
There were only, like, a couple minutes left with Cole, but it's something –
Just the tail end of going over and hearing him, and that's what I was talking about. Jason was over there the whole time with Cole,
mm-hmm.
and I was really impressed. That is as mature and level-headed and – just really knows, you know, appreciative of the opportunity to play one more year of college football and having it to be in the SEC here at Auburn.
Yeah, no, well spoken, you know, great mentally, mm-hmm. Gratitude. I expect nothing less from a guy with the name Cole. So, you know, that made me really happy to hear. But no, I mean, just like that's, you know, it would have been one thing, okay, if you had a de facto blindside protector left tackle that you brought over, and you know, that would have been its own glue in a way.
Yeah.
But I mean, just with what goes into, you know, guiding that offensive line from mm-hmm. that center spot, like it's just like, you know, it's a bummer to lose a guy like Connor Liu, sure, but when you can replace him with Cole Best, I mean, I'm curious, like, how much drop-off there will be, if any, you know, to go from an all-SEC guy to that. It's, you know, that's
a nice situation to have.
Yeah, it's a very nice situation to have.
No question about it. Don, what kinds of things, all right, I mean, this on over on the defensive side, mm-hmm. you've got a few guys coming back, but a lot of new faces there.
Yeah.
What are the kinds of things you're looking for early in spring out of your defensive front?
Well, you know me, number one's effort. Number two is how do they learn? How do they retain what we put in meetings? How do they compete? And then the athletic part of it, how physical are they? Just all the things that you need to be a defensive lineman. But they'll all get a lot of looks, which is good. And competition, you know, that's mm-hmm. important. And leadership, all those things. And, you know, there'll be guys that come to the top. There'll be guys that drop off a little bit. And I know we still have an opportunity to bring in maybe another guy, like we were talking earlier, maybe even two. And that will be important. But, you know, just you look for all the things that a D lineman has to be. But the number one thing I always look for is effort. You know, every day it's easy to give effort that first day in shorts, but what about that? You know, the seventh, eighth day when you've been hitting and grinding. Who's going to step up? Who's going to keep busting it every day in practice? And I like the coach. I think he's really good, enthusiastic. The D-line guy, and the kids like him from what everything I see and read, and that's important. So I think everything's positive, just like Cole said. And to have and going back to offense, the center, I told Bill, we talked about this when we first heard he was coming. To me, that's it. The quarterback and the center, you can build around that. That mm-hmm. center's a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Hey, he's quarterback of the O-line. No question. Yeah.
And you got to set those protections. And nowadays, that is – if you got a guy that just – if he can't do it, you're in trouble.
Yeah. No, my education on how cerebral a center has to be was
and I played center, but we didn't have anything okay. like that when I played.
Yeah.
You just went up there and you snapped it to the quarterback. He was right behind you.
Yeah.
And
that was
it. Double team, blocked, scooped, or cut somebody.
There was a guy who went to my high school, and I forget where he wound up in college, but he got a cup of coffee in the NFL, like very briefly, and he played a few preseason games for the Raiders when Terrell Pryor was there. I forget whether the wide receiver year for him came before or after playing quarterback, but he was so new going into this game that, like, our O line coach at my high school was telling me that he didn't have time to learn all the protections, checkdowns, and Terrell Pryor had to learn every, like, protection and checkdown for the O line as well as his entire offense, and that was forever ago. But that was the first time I was like, okay, like you got to have brains.
Yeah, it's changed so much. He does everything. He sets the protections, like you said. You know, we're gonna slide this way. You know, you see him pointing out the mic. We never did that when I was playing. Mm-hmm. We just went up there and snapped the ball. You know, you had a set play. We're going right or left, and maybe set back. But it's changed with all the blitzes and who's coming, who's hot, who's not. It's you got to be a smart guy.
Yeah.
And I really think he's the key.
Yeah. No.
Got to keep him healthy.
Yeah.
And knock on cement.
You know, speaking of defensive line, I mean, I think Auburn very fortunate that Dallas Walker is able to come back.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, there's a guy that I think actually was more productive than maybe folks had expected when he transferred in last year, and I mean, when you've got him and then you bring back Jordan Crawford, Malik Autry looked great yesterday. Just seeing him walk by, my goodness, I went. I thought that was a giant defensive end.
Yeah.
And that's Malik Autry, who is still listed at 6'5", 330. I'm guarantee you he's 6'5", 3 something.
Yeah.
But he is in tremendous shape.
That's unbelievable. And that's good to see, because I just think he has such a he looks, I think last year especially, like his build to me, he looks like an offensive tackle, you know, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think to see him take that development is
he looks like an NFL defensive lineman now.
No, and I mean, Jordan Crawford, too. Like that was the one I was looking at yesterday. Like it's still, he had all that last year, but it's somehow just looks more significant. And no, I'm interested to see about Dallas Walker, though, because like the tune of familiarity with this team this year. Like, you hear it with everything on the offense, but there's so much of it on the defense.
Well, they've got Vontrez, as Don was saying, you got Vontrez back with guys, some of the guys he was working with, and then you're adding a few others to it.
Yeah.
And you know the nice thing, too, guys, you got 4 months after spring to get them even bigger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, we went all the way up to May.
Yeah.
And then everybody went home. You don't do that anymore. You stay here. You get bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah,
it sounds like they got a good guy in the weight room from what you all have seen, for the trend.
Yeah,
yeah, from what they look like at the end of the season.
Coach Gio.
Yeah,
I believe is what everyone calls him. Mm-hmm. He's
a different cat.
He's got a lot
of strength coaches.
All of them are nuts.
He's got a great
in
look
a good
though.
Way.
He's rocking my hairstyle, I guess, which is no hair on top and a big beard that's kind of snowy white.
I saw him the other day. I said, "Good lord!"
I think he's littered with tattoos.
Yeah, he's got a few.
No,
he definitely does.
Which is like, I don't know. I know nobody can see me. I guess I got a face for radio, but my body's got tattoos on it. So no, I always love seeing people with ink, but no, like it's. I'll be curious to see the development, especially with just like there's a lot of youth still, on this team, and so to see them continue to take strides, that'll be big.
All right, we are we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. Anything that you'd like to talk about sports wise, 334-321-1390 as we continue into the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, got Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Again, love to hear from you. There's so much going on. I mean, it's a great time of year as we're about to get full bore into the NCAA tournament. Got the other two first four games. They don't want to be called play-in games, even though they are. With the Prairie View Lehigh as the 16 first four game tonight, which is up first. Matter of fact, it ought to be just about to tip there in Dayton. And then that'll be followed by the team that everybody, had an opinion on whether they should be in or not, the 31-1 Miami of Ohio Redhawks, against SMU.
Yeah, no,
that's a very interesting and I would think should be a pretty good ball game.
Yeah, because I think too, like one thing that got talked about a little bit was in terms of evaluating like these resumes was the selection committee was going to account for, okay, maybe you lost a game to so-and-so, but like who was playing for you? And if I'm right, I think their leading scorers or somebody who one of their all-conference type guys, if my understanding is he's been out for a while. I think he's back tonight for SMU, but like I don't know, I'm fascinated to watch that.
Yeah, I think he's listed as probable or questionable, whatever, but he's not out.
Okay. Yeah. No, that one, that'll be a ton of fun. Like in Dayton too. I'd love to see Miami make a run.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Like that's
no
just
kidding.
To have a perfect regular season.
Did you have a problem with them getting in? A lot of people
no.
do. You win 31 in a row.
I think
and
they should have.
You
been,
better be in.
I think they should have been a 10 seed. Like I don't think they should have had to you know, we'll say first four their way in, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think they you know. It's an undefeated season. I don't care what your net is. I don't care where you're at in Kennesaw.
No, that's right. You beat everybody that was on your schedule.
Everybody. That's
win
so
31
hard to
in
do.
A row against any competition,
any
level
sport.
Of competition.
That,
yeah, you're
sport.
Right.
That was always my thing when I was AP voting. It was like okay, you reach a certain point. It's like if you're 10-0, great. But like when you get down the stretch, if somebody's like 20-0 that deep into the year, like you got to be good. You know, you got to have something that doesn't just happen by chance. And it's like.
Right.
Nobody should be like I just we got to quit making excuses for all the reasons that teams that are that good at that level don't deserve. I say that with air quotes to be in because it's like what? Why would we do that when the field is this big and we're talking about expanding it already? Like
right.
like give these teams the opportunity. Like let them test their mettle a little bit against you know these high majors. So.
Well, they'll get the opportunity. They get the opportunity tonight, first one, and yeah, I mean, it would. They're the Cinderella, if you will, and it's crazy that the team that won 31 straight games is considered the Cinderella coming in. But we'll see. There are a lot of people pulling against them. I mean, there are a lot of people who just feel like they shouldn't have been there in the first place because they didn't play anybody.
Yeah, that I've seen some of the. I think it was after they beat Akron to see. No, they beat Ohio. Mm-hmm. I think in Athens, Ohio, not Greece or Georgia,
or Alabama.
No, but like you know, I think they're a little chippy. But I'll admit too, like I'm maybe in the minority on that. I really like. I don't care what the sport is, if you can walk the walk like that, like go for it. Talk as much as you want to, you know. Now, if you get smacked, like own up to it. But you know, like I don't know.
Yeah, that's my only thing.
I don't mind
how much you talk as long as you can as you can handle it.
Right.
If you don't live up to it.
Right. But no, it's crazy to me that people would be pulling against this. You know, it's an incredible story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Jason and I were talking about this earlier. I haven't done my bracket yet. I got to get on it when we get done here tonight. But Adam, I'd love your thoughts on what are there a few really intriguing first round matchups that you're really looking forward to?
One team that like I've seen everybody talk about them. I have not looked into their opponent as much, but is High Point.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I don't know as far as metrically how efficient their defense is, but just looking at it, it's like pesky. They force a ton of turnovers, and I think in terms of points, like they're I think the best offense in the country. I think, but that's a team that I think is a you know one worth following along with. I would have said if they didn't lose last night, NC State. Because I just and that's all Will Wade. Like I don't think that team was as complete as he wanted them to be. Just clearly, I mean, even from when they lost here in Auburn. But like I just he's somebody who I for whatever reason I think it always comes together for him this time of year. But that's not one to watch now. So I think High Point's really the one I look at. And then just looking at it, Santa Clara too. That's one I've seen a lot of people pick them just beating Kentucky in the opening round, and you know as much as that
you,
might
you
be,
just, you'd never know. Don, that right. hurts. That hurts to hear that, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Don's a big Cat fan.
Yeah, I can jump out this wind. It's only 3 feet. it would kill me.
That wouldn't shock a lot of Kentucky fans.
No,
I mean, this year you don't know what you're going to get out of Mark Pope.
And you know, back to the NIT. If you look at the history in the old days. Kentucky went to the NIT. Everybody was mad. The next year they win a national championship. Mm-hmm. It's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
The for the previous winner of the NIT has gone on and won the NCAA.
Okay. I need to go back and look at that.
I know Kentucky did with Joe B. Hall.
Okay.
And they were ready to run him off, and the next year, in 78, they won it with the Rick Roby and those guys.
Well, yeah, to sort of bring it back to Auburn, I mean, it would have been terrible had Auburn lost last night.
Mm-hmm.
To take an NIT bid where a lot of people went, you shouldn't be doing that, and then you lose to South Alabama on your home court. But they didn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as long as they, can build off – if they can build off of what happened last night and we can see – I'm looking forward to seeing more of Caden Magwood
now.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, I think there's a little something for people to actually come out and watch. You saw, Simon Walker got in for a little bit. Caden Magwood played a good bit last night. I think there's some things for people whenever the next ball game. I mean, we know it's Seattle. We don't know exactly when, even though I had a friend of mine text me and said it's now being listed. The NIT bracket shows Saturday.
Okay.
It doesn't show a time, but it's showing Saturday. So, if Auburn can build off that, play well, and win a few games here, and then keep the players that Steven and the staff would like to keep, then yes, there's no question that is a positive.
Yeah, that was kind of my follow from the game last night. It was really, like, I was worried I took a couple words and ran with it a little too far, but just kind of what Steven said about, maybe that was a little too honest, but I was kind of like,
no, it was. I thought I was that, like, but that's exactly what it looked like.
Be honest about it. I'm not shocked at all that's how they feel, that, they're not thrilled to be playing in the NIT, but at the end of the day, whether it's Caden Magwood or everything that happened with Murph and what you have in the aftermath of it, mm-hmm. You were already working with a roster that had some deficiencies, and you might have a couple more now, but go out there and, try to light up a tournament field that's got a bunch of teams that are lesser seeded, and see if you can't find some success with your young guys and take that core and try to keep them here and try to just parlay it into next year, and get off on the right foot for next season right now. That would be a huge win. That would be a great way to end what's been just a really ugly and disappointing year.
Look, and regardless of who is back, Auburn's going to need some scoring punch. I think they've got a few guys that can shoot, but I mean, you always want another sharpshooter or two, mm-hmm. but they're going to need inside help.
Yeah, I think everything as far as the transfer portal goes, like, you've got to be looking on the interior. You've got to be looking for a bona fide, like, five-man center. You need a guy.
You need a rim protector who optimistically or the best case scenario can help you offensively as well. But I mean, you've got to have a rim protector.
Right. No, I think that's the biggest thing above all else. And then after that, some of it's going to be really dependent on who is back. But I'll be curious to see what that looks like as far as building out the rest of this roster, because you're right. I think you have some sharpshooters who could return next year, whether that is a Kevin Overton or a Magwood or a Simon Walker. But, like, I think you need not identical necessarily, but I think you need a Keyshawn Hall type if you can find it, in terms of just scoring and scoring at volume. But mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see, like, is that another wing who you've kind of got at the three? Is that, those Bruce Pearl teams, it seemed like having a stretch four, like a Jalen Williams type.
Yeah.
Do you go out and find that, or do you try to develop Sebastian Williams Adams into that?
Look, Elijah has, I mean, his ceiling is mm-hmm. ridiculous, mm-hmm. and he's nowhere near it right now. So, I mean, he's a guy, just depends on exactly where you see him next year. Do you mm-hmm. see him on the wing? Do you see him as a stretch four?
Yeah. And that could get really interesting as far as what you run on the offensive end. If you can find that anchor on the interior of a big man, go out there and get that size, get that length, and have that one-man post presence. And then do you run a little bit of a four-out situation where, even though Elijah's running your four, he's not a bona fide power forward? Like, that could get really interesting, and so there's going to be a lot of directions that it could all go in the meantime, and there will be infinitely more after things get finalized heading into the portal. But no, they're going to have to get a lot of help from the portal for sure into next year.
All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. We'll talk a little baseball preview, the Auburn-Texas matchup, and of course, let everybody know how you can follow everything Adam is doing as well when we come back to wrap things up here on the Wednesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the Wednesday drive. The first four underway and early on. I guess they're approaching the 12-minute mark. Actually, just around 13 minutes. Prairie View leading Lehigh 11-9. Hey, we've had good ball games here for the first four thus far. Came right down to the wire, and here we got another one that's a 2-point game here early. Mm. So that is the first game. Then, as we mentioned, Miami, Ohio and SMU to follow. Adam, let everybody know before we run short on time. I want to let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you're doing. As we said, you pulled triple duty yesterday covering football, baseball, and basketball.
Yeah, and we wrote all three of them too. You know, it wasn't just showing up for baseball. It was running live updates, and we'll have them this weekend too against Texas. But no, if you're looking to go straight to the source, just head to MontgomeryAdvertiser.com, and there will be a drop down at the top, and just click sports, and it'll drop down, and click on Auburn, and you'll have everything you need. And if you're looking for me on social media, whether that's Twitter, TikTok, just search at Cole Reporter. That's my last name, C-O-L-E, and the word reporter, and you'll be able to find me wherever you're looking for me.
Great stuff. You mentioned, it's a huge matchup this weekend, second week of SEC action, and you've got number two Texas coming in, Auburn coming off that sweep of Missouri last week. On paper, I mean, should be a great, great matchup this weekend.
I think it's going to be 27 innings at least of a pitching duel. Like, it's these are the two best staffs in the SEC, arguably the best two staffs in the country. And, you know, I mean, Auburn obviously gets a massive, massive victory yesterday against Georgia Tech. But I don't know if you saw
this. This one counts even more, though.
But it does. But Texas dropped a midweek to Tarleton yesterday.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen, folks.
Right. It can happen to anybody. But no, I'll be really interested to just keep an eye on Auburn's lineup this week as far as what they can do, because it's not always a pop of power, but they're just so effective. So I'll be curious to see if they can do that to the line.
Yeah, and see if they get Eric Guevara and Bristol Carter back in the lineup as well.
Yeah, that would be very good.
Yep. So. Adam, thanks, man. It's always great having you in.
Awesome. No, happy to be here.
Don, yeah, it's always good having you here.
Yes, sir.
I will let you know.
Sure.
I mean, we'll see. We're calling on Don as much as we can. With Dan, of course, with the Troy women, they've got Kansas.
What a great
tomorrow
venue.
Night. They're on the road, so. So we will talk to you tomorrow. I mean, hopefully we'll have Justin Ferguson with us tomorrow as well. But there will be plenty going on. There's football and baseball interviews tomorrow, so we'll have some of that as well. But we're out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.